And now, Ben Bailey.
Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Welcome to our study of preaching as an act of worship. Friends, God has chosen the proclamation, the preaching of His Word to save the lost. And when we take the Bible and preach what God says, God is glorified and honored and He is worshiped in the way in which we want Him to. Paul illustrated the need he felt to preach the gospel. He said, "Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel of Christ." It was a privilege, yet at the same time a heavy responsibility. And today we ought to be convinced and convicted of preaching the Scriptures. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4, verse 11, "If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God." God wants His Word to be preached. Paul told Titus, a young evangelist, in Titus 2, verse 1, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine." And oh, I love the words of God to Jonah in Jonah chapter 3 and verse 2. Jonah was that reluctant prophet. God told him to go and preach to the city of Nineveh. He got on a ship and went the opposite way, eventually swallowed by a big fish, spit up on the ocean. And in Jonah chapter 3 and verse 2, God says now to Jonah, "You go and preach the preaching that I bid you, or the preaching that I tell you." Jonah got the message loud and clear, and my friends, we should as well. I want you to notice what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2 following, concerning biblical preaching and its importance. Notice these words. The Bible says, "Preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine," or teaching. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." Here is Paul's encouragement to this young evangelist. You need to preach the Word. You need to be ready in season, out of season. When they don't like it, when they do like it, you need to stick with the Word. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Why? Time's going to come and they're not going to endure sound doctrine. But because they have itching ears, they'll want their ears tickled. They'll hire someone who will preach anything they want. And God says, that's not going to work. You do the work of an evangelist. You preach the Word. And friends, we need to understand that in a world that is so touchy-feely, in a world that wants to have itself massaged with every good feeling, we need to realize that there is a great need for gospel preaching today. I'm reminded of the words of Amos in Amos chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. Amos said, "There's a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst for water, but of hearing the Word of the Lord." And friend, there's a great biblical drought today as well. And the only way, the main way in which we can deal with that through our study and our preaching is by preaching the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says, "God chose the foolishness of preaching to save those who are lost." In fact, true preaching in and of itself is an act of worship, because when God's Word is preached, when Jesus is glorified, and when the truth is taught, God is worshipped. He's honored because we preach His Word and not ours. Here's what God said to the prophet Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9, God said, "I've put my words in your mouth." And then Jeremiah was told, "You go and root out, tear down, destroy and throw down, and build and plant." And so God was honored through Jeremiah's preaching when he preached His Word, and the same is true for us today. Now, today we're going to look at the content, the attitude, and the proper response that we ought to have to biblical preaching. What is the content of God-glorifying preaching? By that we mean, what should we be preaching? Should we be telling after-dinner stories? A lot of good jokes? A lot of social gospel ideas? What does God want us to preach? Three things that I want to emphasize for us today that God wants us to preach. Number one, God wants us and expects us to preach the Bible, to preach the Word of God. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 3, a question is asked, "What do the Scriptures say?" My friend, that's the answer every gospel preacher needs to give. When we stand up to proclaim a message, we need to say, "Thus saith the Lord." Here's what God says on the matter. An evil king asked a great question in Jeremiah 37, verse 17. "Is there any word from the Lord?" And friends, that's so true for us today. What does God say on the matter? Remember Paul's encouragement to Timothy? preach what? You preach the Word. You be ready in season, out of season. Hebrews 4 verse 12 tells us that we need to be concerned about the Word of God because the Word of God is living and powerful. That's where the power is. The Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I'm reminded of 1 Peter 1 verses 23 through 25. The Bible tells us that we're born again by the Word of God. For all flesh is as grass, all the flower of the grass withers and fades, but the Word of God endures forever. That's what's going to stand the test of time. And so we must preach the Bible. James 1:21 tells us that we're to receive with meekness the implanted Word, watch this now, which is able to save your soul. What is it that saves the soul of mankind? A good story, a humorous illustration, a heartfelt testimony? No, it's the Bible. And so God expects us to preach His Word. I want to direct your attention to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. And I want you to see what God said here. Notice these words. 1 Peter 4 verse 11. The Bible says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. As you think about this passage, God says, if you're going to speak, you speak as I've orated. You speak as I've spoke so that you can be sure that you're teaching what I want. And so we first must preach the Bible. Secondly, we need to make sure that we preach Christ and Him crucified. As I think about the message of Jesus, Paul said in Colossians 1:24, Him we teach, Jesus we teach, warning every man, or Him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. You know, it's so important that we preach Christ that even in Philippians 1, verses 15 through 18, there were some who were preaching Christ out of ulterior motives. And Paul said, you know, those motives aren't right, but you know one thing I'm thankful for? At least they're preaching Christ. He didn't agree with their motives. He didn't think they were doing it in the right attitude, maybe, or the right motive, but they were preaching Christ, and for that, he was grateful. And so we need to preach the message of Jesus and Him crucified. I want you to think about Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Here's a passage that clearly teaches how we must preach the good news about Jesus. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also unto the Greek. I'm not ashamed of what? The gospel of Christ. It is God's power unto salvation. So we preach the Bible. We preach the message of Jesus and the hope of salvation. And friends, we must also preach the truth. This is what separates a lot of people from being a true preacher of the Word of God. We have to make sure that what we're teaching comes right out of here. We've got to make sure that it's true, that it's not based off of denominational ideas, not based off of prejudice, not based off of what's been done for 500 years, but rather, it's from the Word and the will of God. Jesus said this about the truth in John 8:32. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's how people's souls are going to be saved. When the truth is preached, it convicts them in their heart. Acts 2 verse 37, they cry out, men and brethren, what shall we do? And they're given a Bible answer. That's what true preaching is all about. Psalm 119:160 tells us the entirety of God's Word is truth. In John 17, verse 17, Jesus said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. In an age where many people are like Pilate, cry out in John 18, verses 36 through 38, as Pilate did, what is truth? We need to let the clarion voice of God be heard. We need to preach the truth of the Bible. And friend, when the truth is preached, don't take it out on the messenger. Just because the message may not be what you want to hear, you ought to be thankful that someone has the backbone and the courage to speak the truth. Let me illustrate. I want you to think about the words of Paul, or the question Paul asked in Galatians 4, verse 16. Notice this question. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 4, verse 16, have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Do you become someone's enemy by saying the truth of God's Word, by speaking what God wants you to speak? Absolutely not. And so we must preach the Bible. We've got to preach the message of Jesus, and we've got to be sure that what we're preaching is true. And friends, not only must we have the truth in our preaching or the right content in our preaching to glorify God, we also have to do it with the right attitude. Our attitude determines a lot about who we are and our motives. And thus, for our attitude to be correct, we've got to look to the Scripture and see what a correct preaching attitude is. For example, the attitude Christians ought to have when they speak the Bible, when they speak the Word of God, always it should be tendered with love. Our preaching should be seen by its love, by its truth, yes, but by the love we feel for the souls of mankind. I want you to think about Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. Now here's a passage which I think clearly shows our attitude in preaching. The Bible says, "Speak the truth in love." Oh, it's the truth that's important. That's what we've got to preach, the Bible. But what's our motivation? Why are we saying what we're saying? Are we preaching so that we can rebuke and correct somebody and make ourselves look better? Or are we preaching the truth in love because we want people to go to heaven? Because we have a sincere love for the souls of mankind. Proverbs 27, verse 5. The Bible teaches us that love is not always a good feeling or not always a kind word. Sometimes love requires correction. Proverbs 27:5, the Bible says, "Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed." To say that we love somebody and never point out the error of their way would not be true love. Open rebuke is also a type of love. The Bible says in 1 John 4, verse 8, that God Himself is love. We know that God at times had to correct people. We know that God at times had to rebuke and had to discipline the children of Israel. And thus, love by its very nature cares for someone's best interest. That's what true preaching is all about. We have the souls of mankind, their best interest at heart. You know, another attitude in preaching that glorifies God is when preaching has a true urgency. I'm reminded of Zechariah 2 and verse 4. In the Old Testament, minor prophet Zechariah, God told Zechariah, "You run to that man and speak to him." And friends, I'm convinced that that's the urgency we ought to have today in our preaching. We live in a world where every day thousands of people are going to eternity unprepared. There's an urgency in preaching because millions of people are dying lost in their sin. Think of the words of James 4, verse 14. Here's why it's so urgent. James says, "What is your life? It's but a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away." I love the words of 2 Samuel 14, verse 14. The Bible says that our life is like a glass of water, like water poured out on the ground that cannot be gathered up again. That's what life is like. It's so short. This is our one chance. You want to see the urgency in preaching? Here it is. Acts chapter 8, verses 29 through 30. This is the example of Philip as he goes to preach the gospel to the Ethiopian nobleman. And I want you to know what occurs here. The Bible says in Acts 8, verse 29, "Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go near and overtake the chariot.' So Philip ran to him, heard him preaching the prophet Isaiah, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, 'Do you understand what you're reading?'" And this wasn't a casual walk. This wasn't something that he approached flippantly. He's reading. This is his chance. The Spirit says, "Go teach him." And then he beeps it over there to tell him about Jesus and the hope of salvation. So true preaching, its attitude ought to be in love, but there ought to be an urgency.